Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska House and Senate voted today to allow the Legislative Council to sue to force Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to distribute school funding in July. Lawmakers say they hope a lawsuit won't be needed. Lawyers for the legislature and administration differ on whether a law passed last year provided funding for next school year. House Speaker Bryce Edgman is a Dillingham independent. He says lawmakers want to avoid using education funding as a political football.
We think education in Alaska deserves to rise to the top and shouldn't be subject to the whims of the budgeting process in the legislature.
Senate President Kathy Geisel is an Anchorage Republican. She says the legislature's lawyers could ask the courts to release funding to school districts while the lawsuit is resolved.
It is critical that we prevent those pink slips from going out. Stable and predictable, that's what our industries ask for. It seems reasonable to assure that to our education system as well.
Dunleavy, a Republican, says the legislature should pass the bulk of the school funding in the budget. He says it could then sue over $30 million in additional money included in last year's law.
We would like to get this issue worked out so that we know what we can do moving forward. If, in fact, this move is constitutional, let's let the courts decide this. However, we believe it's not.
Dunleavy has said he wouldn't veto education funding if the legislature passed it, but lawmakers and the administration both say resolving the disagreement is important to define the separation of powers between the governor and the legislature. The Legislative Council handles the legislature's business outside of the session, would have to meet to approve a lawsuit before the legislature's lawyers could sue. The first payments to school districts are normally sent in mid-July. The Alaska Senate agreed today to changes to a major crime bill worked out by Senate and House negotiators. The House has agreed to the changes on May 20th, so the Senate action sends it to Governor Mike Dunleavy. Dunleavy says he'll sign it.
This was a significant move on their part. This is great for Alaska. This is great for Alaskans. This is something that we've been talking about for some time, and this goes a long way in making Alaska safer.
The bill repeals much of the controversial three-year-old law known as Senate Bill 91. While that law reduced criminal sentencing, the new measures increases sentencing. The only legislators who voted against the changes were Fairbanks Democratic Representatives Adam Wool and Grier Hopkins. They both said giving them more jail time will increase the risk offenders will commit new crimes when they're released. U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr is coming to Alaska this week. Senator Dan Sullivan says one of his top priorities will be focusing on rural law enforcement, particularly for more than 70 Alaska villages that have no police officers. On Talk of Alaska this morning, host Lori Townsend asked Sullivan how he feels about Indian country jurisdiction, that is, letting Alaska tribes enforce tribal law to fight crime.
Do you favor allowing them to have the kind of police powers in their villages that lower 48 tribes have in reservation communities?
Well, it's an issue that we're looking at.
Sullivan did not take a stand on an Indian country pilot program in the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Bill. The program, beefed up in the House by Congressman Don Young, would let up to 5 Alaska Native tribes enforce tribal law to tackle domestic violence.
The 5-village idea that's in the House version, do you think that's something you could support in a Senate version?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to have a discussion about that. I think you have to look at the different issues with regard to, you know, jurisdictional authority over non-natives, though those communities are not all Alaska Native communities.
The broader problem of domestic violence is one of Sullivan's signature concerns. The senator says he's working on a series of bills passed on the Choose Respect campaign he pursued when he was state attorney general. One of those bills became law last year. The Power Act requires chief federal judges to conduct public events promoting free legal services for crime victims. Trump administration today appealed a court decision that blocked plans to reopen vast portions of Alaska's Arctic waters to oil drilling. The decision comes after a ruling in March when a U.S. District Court judge said President Trump exceeded his authority when he issued an executive order undoing Obama-era protections for large parts of the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas. Neil Lawrence, an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council who helped argue the case, says he's confident the earlier decision will be upheld. Lawrence argues presidents can bar offshore oil development in some areas, but the law doesn't allow later presidents to reverse that decision. Only Congress has that power.
This is a case about the need for presidents to stay in their lanes.
The Trump administration disagrees and is taking its case to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. An Interior spokesperson declined to comment. The case has led to significant uncertainty about how the Interior Department will move forward as it prepares a new 5-year offshore oil and gas leasing plan for the entire United States. Conservation groups oppose the Trump administration's push to expand offshore drilling opportunities, citing risks to wildlife and the need to curb climate change. Alaska's political leaders and the oil industry argue it can be done safely, saying the earlier ruling locks up what could be billions of barrels of oil beneath Arctic waters. On Friday, the Trump administration also appealed a separate ruling that halted its efforts to build a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Both decisions were made by the same district court judge, Sharon Gleason. Hazy skies observed Monday over much of Alaska's southeast panhandle are expected to linger over the next few days. A high-pressure system has effectively kept a lid on the atmosphere. Meteorologist Wes Adkins at the National Weather Service's Juneau office says the haze comes from a number of sources.
One, we've got forest fires from western Canada that have kind of given us particulates in the atmosphere. We also have pollen, and a lot of people are talking about the pollen. We haven't had a lot of rain, so it hasn't, you know, cleared out the atmosphere that much. And the other thing is just, you know, kind of background particulates associated with cars, vehicles, boats, and so forth.
Warm weather caused higher tree pollen production, which has blanketed much of the region in a fine green and yellowish dust.
I do sense that we'll get some haziness lingering into this week, but this weekend I think we'll have a little bit stronger systems coming in, so that might do a better job of cleaning up the atmosphere.
That means cleansing rain showers that could wash away both the pollen dust and particulate hanging low in the sky. Springtime in Alaska is a beautiful sight. With each passing day, the sun shines longer, wildflowers bloom in vibrant colors, and wild animals stretch their legs after a cold winter. But for those who suffer from seasonal allergies, spring means red eyes, mucus, and fits of sneezing. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, the Lynn Canal has seen a remarkable tree pollen bloom this year.
It's a beautiful spring day on the Chilkat River. The birds are chirping. The water is slowly meandering through the valley as it makes its way to the ocean. But as the wind picks up, an ominous yellow cloud lifts from the trees. Just looking at these tree pollen blooms is enough to make one sneeze. But as menacing as they may look, the large plumes of yellow may not be a source of seasonal allergy symptoms.
Red eyes, runny eyes, swelling eyes. When it's really bad, my eyes start to swell up. And then the sneeze tickle, it's like a hedgehog is in your nose. It's amazing.
That's Amanda Randalls, a Haines resident who suffers from springtime allergies. It has been a few years since she has seen pollen blooms of this size. The first time was a shock for her.
I kind of definitely had a moment of, is this some sort of chemical warfare thing?
Most of that pollen comes from spruce trees, but spruce pollen grains are larger than pollen grains from other types of trees, such as birch. Larger pollen gets trapped by the hairs and mucus membrane in the nose before it can penetrate deeper into the respiratory tract and cause an allergic reaction. Dr. Jeffrey DeMaine, founder of the Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Center of Alaska, says that spruce pollen can be an irritant in the same way that road dust is. But deciduous trees, grasses, weeds, and molds are the culprits for outdoor allergies. One way to plan ahead for allergies is to check recent pollen counts. DeMaine uses a special machine to measure pollen at his clinic in Anchorage.
It runs for 24 hours, and then we collect the slides from that device. So you want to first identify what kind of pollens you're looking at, and then you literally count them. There's a mathematical formula that you use to determine how many pollen grains there are per cubic meter. So for every time we do pollen counting, I would say that's about 6 hours of total preparation.
In the Anchorage area, there are high levels of birch pollen at the moment. DeMaine says that's normal for this time of year. What sticks out to him is that the pollen cycles are beginning earlier and earlier each year.
We're as much as a month earlier than we were, you know, a decade or two ago. And that's related to the warming of our temperatures, and our temperatures are warming 2 to 4 times what is seen in the global average if you're looking at the subarctic region.
DeMaine says that unfortunately there is little pollen data for southeast Alaska because it lacks pollen count stations. The equipment for the devices is expensive, and collecting the data is a labor-intensive process that requires special training. But looking at the yellow dust covering the roads, floating in the water and swirling in the half-light, odds are the pollen count is high. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And taking a look at the National Weather Service forecast for Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight mostly cloudy, lows around 50. In downtown Juneau and Douglas, northwest winds to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the 60s. And that's the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.